I'm sure, like me, your thoughts this week have, from time to time, gone round the world to the Philippines. It has just been awful. I've watched it, I've read about it, and even now I can hardly begin to imagine what it's meant for those people to face what they've faced over the past few days. We had that storm, didn't we, a few weeks ago, and we got very excited about winds of, what was it, 85, 90 miles an hour? And they had them running at well over 200 miles an hour. What on earth that must have been like. And of course, the wise folk all start tut-tutting and say, well, they should have been better prepared and so on. And then I read in the paper, if we'd had winds of that speed and they'd come up the Thames estuary, probably the Thames flood barrier wouldn't have worked with the storm surge. Central London would have been underwater. £125 billion worth of damage would have been done. Schools would have had their roofs ripped off. Tiles would have been flying everywhere. Trees would have been blown down. We would not have looked a pretty sight. Everything would have ground to a halt. And I can only begin to imagine, therefore, what it must have felt like to be in the middle of that typhoon as the world came crashing around them. And it felt slightly eerie today. Bob, as we were talking just before the service, you may wonder why on earth this reading from the Gospel was chosen for today. The answer is it's the set reading, and I always try and preach on the set reading, and then I come to it and think, what on earth am I doing with that one? You'll have noticed what it was about. It was about war. It was about famine. It was about destruction. It was about all sorts of things that don't have much to do with the joy of confirmation today. But let's have a look at it nonetheless. Remember the context. Jesus has just made his final journey to Jerusalem. He knows what's going to happen to him. The die is cast. He's going to lose his life, and he's also predicting here what will happen to his people, the Jews. And Jesus saw more clearly than it seems almost anybody else in his age that the Jews were getting more and more obnoxious as far as the Roman Empire was concerned, and eventually, about 30 years after he died, they would rebel and they would be crushed. So there they were, he and his closest friends, looking at the temple. The temple was the great building for them. It had only been finished a few years before. It looked fantastic. They'd longed for a temple as great as that. Think of St. Paul's Cathedral. Think of one of those great buildings. It was like that, though even better. And so there they were, he and his friends, the disciples, saying how beautiful the temple is. And Jesus says, what you see there? The time will come when not one stone of it is left on another. It's going to be wiped out. And of course it was. If you go to Jerusalem today, there is no temple. And there hasn't been for almost 2,000 years now. It was totally destroyed. You can see where they tipped some of the stones down the hill from it, or bits and pieces of the temple area. And the one thing you can see still that stayed wasn't the temple itself, that was all destroyed, but it's what's known as the Wailing Wall. That's actually the foundations of the Temple Mount. The temple was so big they needed to expand the flat hill it was on. So they built it out and filled it in a bit. You can see that. But there's nothing of the temple. And he reminds them, as he speaks of the temple, of how rapidly things can change. How rapidly things that seem so secure become so uncertain. War, famine, natural disasters, they all happen. And they're all very destructive. Think of our own lives, our own lifetimes for most of us here. Think of 9/11 and what that's meant. Think of the economic crash a few years ago. Things can be much more fragile than we think they are. And that's what Jesus is saying to these his friends. He's saying, look at the temple. You think it's really secure, but I tell you it isn't, because life's not like that. And there was more to come as he was talking to them. Not only are you going to see things destroyed all around you, you're going to get persecuted. They will lay hands on you and persecute you. Thank God that doesn't happen to us much in this country. Not deep persecution. But it is happening in other parts of the world. There are Christians suffering for their faith today. There are parts of the world where being confirmed would be a very, very dangerous act indeed. You'd be risking your lives. That's scary. You'll be persecuted, said Jesus. And at that point, I don't blame you if you're feeling I'm being a bit of a killjoy this morning. And I wouldn't blame you if you're saying to yourself, Bishop, this is meant to be a joyful day. And with all this talk of death and destruction and pain and persecution, it's pretty miserable. Yes, but Jesus is saying something to his disciples that really is rather important. He says, look, there are two things to be realistic about in this world. The first is that there is a sense of impermanence. If we start trusting in things, we're going to end up disappointed. Buildings are destroyed. Jobs don't last. Bank accounts disappear. Life is fragile at times. But this is the thing to be really realistic about. There is something, or rather there is someone, who in the midst of it all is constant. The God who doesn't change. And that's the other thread running through here. God's in control of history. God knows what's going to be happening. God knows this temple is going to be destroyed. God knows, and God is in control. God knows you'll have times of persecution, and God's still in control. God's with you in the midst of things that terrify you. When you hear of wars and revolutions, don't be frightened. Why not? Because God is there and he's in control. And what you're doing today, being confirmed, is you're backing permanence rather than things that come and go. You're with God in the midst of this. And that's a very wise move indeed. Later today, I'll be at a different service from this. I'll be at a service in Tame. It's organised annually by Thames Valley Police. It's for those who've been affected by death on the roads. And this year, I'm preaching. It's the first time I've done it. And when I'm going there, I'm not going as the bishop or any a bit. I'm actually going as the uncle of Helen, my niece, who died 20 years ago in a horse riding accident. I can't explain all that happened around then. I do know that the fact that she was involved in church, as is my brother and sister-in-law, didn't give them neat, nice protection. I do know that God was with them in it. And that was what Jesus was saying here. It's a bit strange, he's talking about God's protection when he knows he's going to death himself. But the God we worship today is the one who got his hands dirty, who knows firsthand about suffering, and who through it all offers a real security that nothing else in this world can offer. And that is good news for today. Amen.